The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. It is another great day in the neighborhood, and it is so great to be with each of you today. And we must stop and really just take a pause and say our prayers and our thoughts and our good wishes are with the Trump family, with President Trump, for his diagnosis with Melania, with all of the others who have been diagnosed around this. And, you know, this notion of contact tracing will hopefully be invaluable in understanding, you know, who has been exposed and getting them treatment and, frankly, quarantined prior to it going any further. So our hearts and prayers are with everyone who's impacted by this. And actually, we all are, aren't we? It makes you stop and pause and say, is that, but for the grace of God, there go I, right? And is that something that if I were dealing with, you know, wow, how would that impact me? And so I know that there are people who are listening who have been dealing with it, and our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family as well. So this is a time in our nation to take pause and say, you know, maybe all the vitriol, maybe all the nastiness just ain't worth it. Now, there's a stand to have about truth, and there's a stand to have about compassion. You know, I just have dealt with in my own life this notion of being generous in the way we receive people's information, how we relate to people, even people on the other side. And I just had a very interesting interaction with somebody I do respect very much, who he and I disagree. You know, we disagree on Trump. It's very public at this point on my Facebook page, so go check it out. But he's a delightful person, and I respect him immensely, and we have different points of view. But I want us to stop the nastiness. And for those people who have wished the president ill, Twitter, you know, everybody knows this now, I think, that Twitter has now taken a public stand saying we will take that down if you wish him or others ill or harm or death, which has occurred on several occasions on the left, which is just disgusting. So we need to really stop, take inventory of our nation, and take a moment to say, what is it that really matters? Because I will tell you, this is no longer about Trump. And it probably hasn't been for a while, but I don't think we realized it. There's a fight that we're in, and it's about truth, integrity, justice, the American way, and honoring those basic fundamental principles that make us who we are, and frankly have people trying right now to walk through Guatemala to get here. So thank you for being patriots. Thank you for standing for something greater than yourselves. And yes, it impacts all of us in a very deep and personal way. But let's not forget the big picture here, the economy. For years, I thought about this idea of the trade deficits. Like, why? Why is that? That makes no sense. You know, as a business person, you think, why on earth would we have a trade deficit? That's crazy. Bad business. And we were doing bad business for years and getting away with it or tolerating it, really tolerating it. So President Trump came along and said, you know what? That's crazy. Let's not do bad business. Let's start to reset and recalibrate our economy, our financial contributions across the world, but also our financial commitments to our own people, the working middle class, the manufacturing businesses. Let's bring that back in-house. So I'm 100% behind him for those reasons. And frankly, that is bigger than the man. That's about saving our nation. And there are people who would take this country down and turn us socialist. And as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to say it right here, right now, that is treasonous acts, because we are not a socialist nation. We are a republic, democracy, democratic republic, right? So on that note, today is really about ensuring that we, the people, are in charge. And it's not about a collective group of people who take over something and abuse or corrupt it. So I have had the distinct honor of inviting to our show today Representative Steve Drazkowski from Minnesota, who is embroiled in the middle of a corruption incident, we'll call it, that is occurring up there where people are ballot harvesting and all of that. And we'll let him explain kind of what's been going on. But I reached out to him because I am committed that we restore integrity to this nation. And it must happen, or we will not remain what we are today. And I don't think that's what we want. So patriots unite, patriots rise up, patriots vote, get out the vote, because I don't care if you're in a blue state or you're in a red state. If you believe that you want this nation to survive intact and restore integrity, there is only one choice. Really, there's only one choice for president. But you also got to vote for the Senate. You also got to vote for the House. And I don't care if you're in a blue state and you think your vote doesn't matter for the president. It matters. The popular vote this year matters more than ever. And I am a believer in the Electoral College. But we also need the popular vote to be a referendum. So all that being said, I want to invite Steve Drazkowski, otherwise known as Draz, to Success Happens. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I said, is it okay if I call you Draz?
Draz is perfect.
Okay, good. I said to you off air, you know, as we were preparing, you know, we're in this together because what's going on in Minnesota is going on elsewhere. And we must stop it. We must stop it immediately. So I thought I'd start with, you know, we're Maryland, you're Minnesota. I had the pleasure of kind of going in and doing some research and learning about, you know, my healthcare company is based in Minnesota. So you have some major industries and major companies based in Minnesota, but could you share with us a little bit about Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota, Jen, is a very large state. There's 87 counties. You know, to drive from one end to the other, north to south, is 7 or 8 hours, and east to west is a good 4 or 5, depending on where you are. So a very large state, a very diverse state. You've got, you know, it's a land of 10,000 lakes. I think there's more than 10,000, but the northern part of the state is a lot of lakes and forests, and you get to the central part of the state, it's more prairie, and then in the southern, it's in western, it's agriculture. So very diverse state. We've got about 5.5 million people in Minnesota, and politically, we're a slightly blue state, and we've had experimentation with going into the red area a few times in our recent history. So we're hoping to do that again. We hope that the president can actually win this state this time. There's a huge presence by the Trump campaign here, and we believe that we're actually going to win this state. It'll be the first time that a Republican would have taken this state since 1972.
What are you hoping that by winning the state, President Trump can bring to Minnesota? What do you think is at stake for you guys?
Well, you know, I think you kind of captured it earlier. The same thing that everybody else is looking at, and that is, are we going to continue to delve into the dungeon of socialism, or are we going to be a free republic like our founders envisioned? We have liberals that continue to throw our freedoms out the window with both hands, and we need a president who's going to lead us in stopping that from the federal level. So we've seen some really good impacts from the president from the first 4 or 3.5 years of his term. And like many other states have, it's helped our economy and I think helped people's attitudes as we move forward. And we need that to happen again for another 4 years so that we don't turn back the other direction.
How important is manufacturing to you all? I mean, bringing back manufacturing to U.S., how much does that impact Minnesota?
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned we're a very high tax state, just a huge tax state, Jen. They tax everything here, everything, except clothing.
The air you breathe.
The air you breathe is taxed. The water you drink is taxed. But you mentioned earlier that your health insurance company was based here. At one point, there were like 500 different Fortune 500 companies in this state. And the thing is a lot of times it was the national headquarters for some of them. What that meant is that the manufacturing was actually elsewhere, whether it was overseas or in other states where the tax environment is much better. As a matter of fact, we had a company called Northwest Airlines that was based out of Minneapolis. They merged with Delta a few years ago, and they're in Georgia or South Carolina now. So that's the type of thing we've seen happen over and over again. And the state tax environment here is just awful, and we're working to bring it the other direction. And with the president's inertia and momentum, I think we can bring it back to dead center and then bring it back over to towards freedom again. And that's what we're hoping for.
Well, you know, you said something that I think is fascinating, because actually Maryland and Minnesota then would share those issues, because we are a very high tech state, and we see individuals with individual wealth leaving, going to Florida or elsewhere. We see corporations not necessarily coming here, or sometimes looking to relocate. They because of the high corporate taxes relative to our neighbors. So we have been ineffective in Maryland in our taxing of individuals and corporations. And, you know, one of the things that makes us perhaps a little unique is our proximity to Washington has kind of insulated us from some of those realities that other, areas around the country may face. So we're, you know, maybe spoiled a little bit, but we've not recognized the importance of lowering our tax rate to the degree that they've done anything about it and stimulating our economy here, to a certain degree. So I think, you know, there is some parallels. It's interesting. So when we look at, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just add that in addition to that, we've got that going on here, too. The corporate tax rate is 9.8% in Minnesota. We're like the second highest in the country or third highest in the country. It's just toxic for businesses. So we are taxing production. We are taxing productivity. And we are at the same time growing all these government programs and attracting with a magnetic approach. Attracting people from other states to our very numerous and generous programs that we have here. So we're exporting wealth and importing poverty, and that's not a good idea for success. So our hope is we can flip that around and bring reciprocal at some point. And if we don't, it's going to be the same devolution that you're talking about in Maryland.
Well, we have a caller that, and I find that interesting that Minnesota would tax so high. That really is tragic, because that will impact your ability to attract those headquarters and those jobs and those manufacturers back there. So, you know, it's very short-sighted on the part of state legislators who think that giving away the farm is the answer to saving the state. Let me go ahead and bring in a caller who actually has a question for you. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. I'm Fred in Frederick, and I happen to be a Republican. But I wanted to bring up the fact that while, you know, I am also for free enterprise and things that make America great, I believe we already have certain forms of socialism embedded in our country since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I mean, I regard the Social Security as a form of socialism. I believe Medicare, Medicaid as a form of socialism. The GI Bill, Pell Grants for students as forms of socialism. Cotton allotments or farm subsidies are forms of socialism. So you know, I wanted to get the congressman's thoughts on something like that. Food stamps are a form of socialism. So how can you all say that, you know, this is not a socialist country, given the fact that we have these programs already rolling and have been there for decades? Housing, federal housing subsidies are a form of socialism.
Yeah, Fred, so thank you.
Section 8 is a form of socialism.
We got it.
So,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And I get your point. And just to be clear, Representative Drazkowski is a state legislator for Minnesota. But I think you just got a promotion. So you should think about that, Draz.
Well, I think Fred's correct, Jen. We've got, Obamacare and the health care system we have can hardly be described as a free market health care system now. And so that would be one more for Fred's list, and certainly demonstrating that we are continuing to creep into the socialism environment. And we really need to turn this thing around, and that's why President Trump has to win.
Well, and I think human services rise when we as an economy are struggling with jobs, with prosperity, and so forth. We got to take a quick break. Draz, stay on the line. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, MJAC Designs and Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now, and we'll be right back.
Are you interested in building your reputation through an outstanding customer experience? Hi, this is Melissa Lentz, owner of MJAC Designs. We are experts in understanding, evaluating, and improving your customer's experience. Times have changed. Now more than ever, organizations need to know how they are perceived. Let MJAC design a way for you to understand your customer experience. We put people first as a certified minority woman-owned business. Contact us at mjachdesigns.com.
Hi, this is Dave Dionovich, owner of Dionovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Hi, Tim May here, inviting you to join me for a Preakness Day get-together. That's right, this Saturday at Long Shots at the Clarion Inn, Frederick Event Center, this Saturday, 3 to 5 with 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. I have with me today Draz. Representative Steve Drazkowski from Minnesota, and you are the, is it District 5? Did I get that right?
I'm actually in District 21B. The District 5, I think you're thinking about, Jen, is the Congressional District 5, where Representative Omar represents,
which is right.
In the middle of Minneapolis.
I mixed up.
I represent a rural district about 90 minutes from there in southeast Minnesota.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. So apologize. And we were going to have another, I guess, colleague of yours was Jeremy, but he referred us to you. So I'd like to talk a little bit about this situation in Minnesota that's really quite serious. That, you know, in the midst of, back to what you were saying, the socialism that's occurring here, and I think Fred made a good point. You know, it already exists in human services. Now we got to take care of our people to a certain degree, but when you start to see the corruption coming in to try and dismantle the democracy, in favor of socialism or something else. In other words, splitting us apart and dividing us, which is definitely occurring. What we have to deal with is, why would someone come in and start to illegally harvest votes? I mean, that's so beyond my comprehension as a patriot. I find it absolutely shocking. So there's been a story, a video, and I posted it about from Project Veritas about the area up there where this ballot harvesting has occurred. Can you share with people basically the circumstance and any backstory that you have that we may not be aware of?
Absolutely, Jen. Now, maybe I'll start by just mentioning that I've been working to exploit the corruption of Representative Omar for over 2 years now, and cataloged a lot of those along with my complaint to the U.S. House Ethics Committee on a website I created. It's omartruth.com. So on that site, we've also got posted not one, but two videos that Project Veritas just did in this last week. OmarTruth.com, if you want to take a look. The two voter fraud strategies there are ballot harvesting and then actually paying people to vote. And so, Jen, 2 years ago, I became aware of some Minnesota state campaign finance violations that Representative Omar was involved with. I worked to dig those out when I discovered them and exploit those realities. I filed a complaint with our state campaign finance and public disclosure board. And a year later, they came out with findings that Representative Omar had violated state law multiple times, required her to pay back and pay fines for her illegal behavior that took money unethically and spent it illegally on herself rather than on campaign activities. So that led me to realize and find there was also tax fraud that she committed that was part of the huge investigation that our state campaign finance and public disclosure board did at that point, federal and state tax fraud, where she filed taxes with somebody she wasn't married to. And then that led me to her marrying her brother fraud, the marriage fraud, which I think a lot of people have heard of and definitely is what happened. She brought her brother, Ahmad Elmi, over from England during a 2 or 3 year period in order to gain access to our very generous public education system, college system at North Dakota State University. So there's very likely college student loan fraud that happened as well. So I cataloged all of those, and I know I had 8 different appearances on Fox News back then. And so what that visibility offered was that back in January of this year, I received a call from some people from the Somali community in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, right from the center of Representative Omar's district. And they said, Steve, we got to meet with you. And so I met with them multiple times, and they outlined, Jen, for me, their recollection of voter fraud that occurred in 2018. They wanted me to be aware of this, and they also said they believe it happened in 2016 as well. But very, very descriptive accounting of what happened in 2018, including a very organized and articulated effort with some of the other campaigns that were aligned with her in the city at different levels, that they would organize and canvass these neighborhoods of very large apartment buildings where 4,000 or 5,000 people lived in a couple square blocks. Okay. Or several square blocks.
All right. So we're going on a break, and I want to leave people with a question. Okay. And we're going to come back. We're going to try and answer it. Why on earth is she still there? Why on earth is she still in Congress? We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I have with me today Draz from Minnesota. We are talking about ballot harvesting and all things corrupt in the election process. We'll be right back.
This.
Good morning and welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Minnesota State Representative Steve Drazkowski, otherwise known to friends and citizens as Draz. And thank you so much for being with us here today. So I am left with absolute shock that Congresswoman Omar is allowed to remain in office. So when you look at, you know, fraud, I don't know, marrying your brother just is wrong in so many ways. But when we look at the abuse of our systems, because that's really what we're talking about, right? Abusing the system for personal gain.
Exactly. And this is a repeated behavior that Representative Omar engages in. And she does whatever she needs to do in order to promote herself. And that's what that's exactly what some of the fine Somali folks that Somali Americans that called me and met with me back in January were concerned with. Really, according to them, the fostering and propagation of corruption in order to further her and her allies as they move forward electorally. And so in 2018, when she was first elected to the U.S. Congress, it was reported to me that a very sophisticated approach in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis in Ward 6 there, where they had building captains. The campaigns canvassed these huge apartment buildings with thousands of people in them way ahead of the election. And had a very organized effort with the building captain, floor captains, et cetera. And when early voting and eventually the election day came forward, they found that the people in these buildings, many of which, in some of the buildings, the vast majority of which, are elderly people who don't speak English or don't read English, don't read at all. They actually had an organized system of bringing them with vans to the polling place, checking them in with checklists when they get in the van, checking them out when they get out of the polling place, oftentimes accompanying them into the polling place, and then checklist checking them in and out of the van on the way back. And
so is that legal? Draz, is that legal?
Well, in Minnesota, you're only supposed to be in the polling place once in Minnesota, and that's when you vote. After that, you're not supposed to be there. In terms of actually accompanying them in the polling place, Jen, I don't know the answer to that. But when we saw this last primary election in 2020, or heard anyway, what I was told is that they actually accompanied them into the voting booth. Into the voting booth to help them vote, and as one of my Somali friends said, you know, pointing oftentimes at the ballot saying, "Vote here for Ilhan," and that is the type of story that these folks told me about, and that's what I was told. But
Let me ask you a quick question, just to stay on that point for a moment. Isn't that intimidation?
Well, absolutely, you know, as I like to look at it, extracting votes from elderly people that really don't know what that's active disenfranchisement right there, stealing or coercing votes from people. And that's what we've seen and I've been told about, and the Project Veritas videos have pointed out in this last primary election, which just happened on the 11th of August.
So hold on. So let me just ask you this. Did they ever feel threatened that if they did not comply, their harm could be done to them?
You know, I don't know that, and I haven't been told that. But I've been told generally that many of these folks, again, many elderly in Cedar Riverside, I'm told it's over 50% of them that are elderly, don't speak English and don't read, and I've been told that generally
They've been conditioned to believe that Ilhan Omar is more like a dictator, more somebody that they should, definitely be afraid of. And there was, rather than somebody who serves them. And so that's definitely the kind of overall thing. But whether they did that in the booth or not, I don't know.
It would be interesting to interview some of those elderly folks. In human services, and I've spent my career in that, we call individuals who cannot stand up for themselves vulnerable adults. So if somebody is non-English,
these are definitely vulnerable adults. And so to continue with the process that I was told about in 2018, this was back in January of this year. They were paid for their vote on the way back to their house, to their apartment, in the van on the way back. And the number that was given to me over and over again was $200 per vote, per person. And so at first I was kind of in shock and pretty skeptical. But as I started to hear more from them, and then as we got closer to this election that we just got done with, the primary election here in August, as we got closer to it, early voting began in late June here in Minnesota for that. So as we got closer to that, I started to see and hear more things from them in this election that very much corroborated the stories they told me from 2018. And so I shared with, and this was back in March, what I had heard from them with a contact at the FBI in Minneapolis, because I had met with the FBI, two different times actually before that. And I met with them and shared what they had shared with me. That was back on March 11th, I believe. And as we were going forward from that day, I didn't have the full confidence that the FBI was going to be proactive and acting here, because they had not done so on the other frauds that we talked about earlier from the 2 years previous or the year and a half previous.
Other incidences across the country that are questionable. So FBI has definitely some credibility issues right now.
Yeah, and I wasn't certain they were going to act, so I was able to obtain the phone number to Project Veritas, and I called them. And they were interested and sent their individual out. We met with them and with my Somali contacts from the Somali American community in Minneapolis. We met with them multiple times and got to know each other. And then and shared everything with them. And then when the primary election came close, we started to hear of some videos coming out. The first one was a video that has not been shared yet, and it's of a gal on Facebook actually denouncing these pay-for-vote schemes that she was already seeing in the 2020 primary election, and calling on her fellow neighborhood people, her neighbors, to not participate in this, that it was against the law, it's fraudulent, that's not how we operate here in America, and so a very good message. And then there was the second video that came out about a week or so later, this one of Liban Mohammed that I think people have seen with the ballot harvesting, where he's got 300 ballots in his car. So when I heard about those, I called upon Project Veritas and I said, you guys got to get in here now. And they showed up in Minnesota. We met with the Somali folks that I had been meeting with again, and were able to, at some point then in that meeting, get a copy of the video that is the source video for the ballot harvesting video that I think millions of people have seen in the U.S.
So, wow, I'm rarely speechless, and this is one of those times. And I'm just wondering, how on earth is this woman in charge of setting laws, involved in setting laws, standing up before the people, trying to school us on how we should better run this democracy? How on earth is now? And I want to say this to everybody listening and anybody who downloads this podcast across the country. You all should be terrified that this woman is in the U.S. Congress because she doesn't just represent Minnesota. She represents Congress. She represents a toleration in the U.S. Are we afraid to offend her? I'm not. So why on earth are we allowing this to proceed? Because we as Americans all need to be concerned about what this is. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Jen. And that's the case. It's an overall PC culture that back when I was sharing the other frauds of her from over the past couple of years with the IRS and the Minnesota Department of Revenue, with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with the judges in Hennepin County Court in Minneapolis, where she committed perjury 8 times, with a variety of people, I ran into a dead end at each time and just not an appetite for going there. And the Ramsey County Attorney's Office was another one. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office was another one. I'm sure it's a PC culture of fear that really prevents people from doing the right thing here. And I can tell you as somebody who doesn't subscribe to that, when you don't, Representative Omar and others call you racist and bigot and, you know, Islamophobe and other things. And, you know, I don't cower from that. And I simply stood in there and called up what I was seeing.
Okay, so here's what I want to say about that. My mother's an immigrant, so I have zero tolerance for this. So when the notion that she can reset us, no, she needs to play by our rules. And I don't care where she's from. You know, this is not about race or ethnicity. This is about dishonest criminal activity. And I don't care who you are, where you're from, what your heritage is. If you're dishonest, you're dishonest. And there is nothing more to say about that other than her butt should be in jail. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank Dionovich and Associates for coming on board as a sponsor. MJAC Designs and Sweeties on the Creek. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in building your reputation through an outstanding customer experience? Hi, this is Melissa Lentz, owner of MJAC Designs. We are experts in understanding, evaluating, and improving your customer's experience. Times have changed. Now more than ever, organizations need to know how they are perceived. Let MJAC design a way for you to understand your customer experience. We put people first as a certified minority woman-owned business. Contact us at mjachdesigns.com.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh-made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Hi, this is Dave Dionovich, owner of Dionovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
It's all about your car. Call in with questions to Dave Serio beginning in less than 30 minutes right here on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. And that's a pretty strong statement going into break, right? So, Draz, I want to thank you for you doing the fight. You know, it takes a lot of courage in today's climate to stand up for truth and justice and to call wrong wrong. Because this idea of vilifying people in order to get away with something is over for me. And as I've said to people, you know, I will not be bullied. so don't try. So go ahead.
So this voter fraud, yeah, thank you. So this voter fraud, Jen, in Minneapolis is an open secret in the communities that it's been documented in, including the main video of Liban Mohammed and the 300 ballots in the car, and the pay-for-vote scheme that's included in the other video, where actually people are caught on tape taking money for their absentee ballot application. So that's what we've seen. You know, Liban Mohammed put together this video in the ballot harvesting video. He put it on the Snapchat, and he was boasting to his 10 opponents in the Minneapolis City Council race. By the way, he is a strong ally of Representative Omar and one of the people in one of the different positions that she wants to get and wanted to get elected to office. He was boasting to his opponents about, you know, you have to know how to do this, and I've got 300 ballots in the car, all of them. This is just from today, and they're all filled out for his brother Jamal Osman. He says that right on the video, and you've got the left then coming back and saying that this is fake and this type of thing, and it's absolutely not. I know 100% where it came from. I've got a copy of the original video that was handed to both myself and Project Veritas at the same time from the same folks, and these were people in the community that captured this Snapchat video from an unbeknowing Liban Mohammed, who thought it was going to evaporate from his Snapchat, and they captured it and saved it separately, and it's simply that video that we have. It's very
is it
very
evidence
compelling
is it evidence
it's what's that
is it considered evidence
Well, it should be considered solid evidence. As a matter of fact, right now there's the Minneapolis Police Department has undergone an investigation. I am hopeful that the FBI and their affiliated federal agencies are investigating now too. And
all right, let me ask a couple of questions, because we're coming up on top of the hour, and I've got a couple of things I want to make sure I get in. So first of all, I'm looking online, and the Hennepin County attorney says no reports of ballot harvesting. So here's my question. Is the Hennepin County attorney in cahoots with Congresswoman Omar?
Well, he's a solid Democrat. And the Democrat establishment here in Minnesota has been shaken by this because they've known it's been going on. As a matter of fact, I have video proof, photographic proof on my phone that proves that the State Party chair of the Democrats was made aware of this not once but twice prior to the primary election this year. They know about it. They know it's been going on. It's an Achilles heel they have, and they've been hiding it. And so the Hennepin County attorney's response is fully expected.
Okay. So the last thing I think people need to understand, the video says that there could be potentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, 80,000 votes at stake here.
Well, I don't know. He had 300 votes in one day, and the early voting period goes, I'm trying to remember, 40 or 45 days, and he was out there from six. He talked about, and over again, we heard from folks, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. Is when they shook down these large apartment buildings and then collected their ballots from them as soon as they received them. And so, you know, it's certainly thousands in my mind. I don't know how many thousands, but you're talking about thousands of ballots. Jen, in Minnesota, Norm Coleman lost in the recount against Al Franken by 312 votes.
So... what is your plan going forward to root out corruption and reset this election process? Because it sounds like to me the community has said enough. Are the people within the community and what we're going to call fellow patriots rising up against this corruption?
They definitely are, Jen. There's a good number of them, of course. Representative Omar and her fear and course of tactics against the people in the Somali community. She continues to try to hold them captive and use fear. By the way, they would be told as they're collecting ballots in these buildings, you need to hand the ballot over so you don't have to go vote somewhere or you'll get COVID, or you could be deported if you don't give us the ballots. Those are the two things that these unbeknowing, vulnerable adults were told by these crooks that went around and stole the ballots from them.
Well, you know, back to your point of disenfranchised, there's a very big voting block of those of us who are 55 plus. And we have certain interests and conditions and commitments that we're voting for. You know, we want to make sure that we're cared for in a particular way in our elder years. So the elderly voters, senior voters, is a huge voting block. And to intimidate them, to force them to comply and vote according to Omar's will, not the will of the people, is disgusting. And
it's important to show here. Liban Mohammed and the ballot harvesters like him voted hundreds of times a day. And the poor, vulnerable, Somali-American people in the apartment buildings had their vote taken from them and never had a chance to vote.
Well, it sounds like to me, I mean, I don't even know where you go with this, but, you know, election fraud is very serious. And this kind of thing, what do you have any thoughts on what the jail time could be for these individuals who are harvesting these ballots? What do they get? Not a slap on the wrist, I hope.
I'm told the federal penalty is 5 years in prison and $10,000. So, it's a real deal, and it's very, very important. But we have to bring the rule of law back, and this is what we're seeing in our country generally, is that the left throws out the rule of law for their will, their sheer power grab, and that's what we're seeing happen here. I'm continuing to press on with the Minneapolis Police Department, encouraging them, and I'm sharing everything that I know and everybody I can to connect them to the resources and the facts, and encouraging the FBI and the federal investigative agencies to do the same. I am very confident when they get to the bottom of this, and we need to get to the bottom of it, Jen, that they will see the same thing that Project Veritas's tapes reveal.
Well, I'm going to leave a kind of a final thought. We're up against the top of the hour. So first of all, thank you so much for being with us and sharing, because we are dealing with it here in Maryland. There was an incident. I was hoping to have some reporting on that today, but we don't have it for you today, but we'll do it next week, that in Anne Arundel County, there's been some voter fraud right here in Maryland. So we need to be concerned about it. We need to be vigilant about it, and we need to be intolerant of it. And for those attorneys in these different counties and jurisdictions who are allowing it, they ought to be disbarred. They ought to be disbarred, because it's not just about that one community or one violation. It is a cancer within us, and the justice system must be trustworthy, because we have given you our faith and our trust. Draz, you're awesome. I hope we'll have you on again. Please keep it up with me and let me know how it's going. Great job to Project Veritas, and we wish you all the best in Minnesota.
Thank you so much, Jen. Have a great weekend.
All right. God bless. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for all your efforts to bring about integrity, to bring about love and compassion and generosity, even in the conversations with people who oppose our thinking. Let's come together with civility and unity. Love you. Talk to you next Saturday morning, 9 a.m., right here on Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
WFMD, Frederick.
A Connoisseur Media radio station.
10 o'clock.